Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Come on, who's excited about the word today? It's good to see you guys. You guys are looking good. You're looking skinny, looking healthy. Look next to you and tell them, you're looking skinny today. If you ever want to know how do you say something good to somebody, just tell them that. Very few people will reject that compliment, I promise. But it's good to see you guys. So glad to be back here at Victory Orlando and to see what God is doing here. We had a great first service, and now with you guys, the best is for the last here. And so we're excited today. I want to honor Pastors Chris and Heather for the job they're doing and leading on a regular basis here at Victory. Can we give them a hand? Doing a great job. They love you guys. When we talk to them on a regular basis, they don't tell me any of the bad things that are going on here. And it's only good things, so you guys are awesome. And we're so honored, for those of you that may be here for the first time, we're just glad that you took that step of faith to come to a new place, checking out new people. And our prayer is that you would leave different. Our prayer is that God would do something on the inside of you, connect you to this place, and that you would leave different. Whether you come back here or not, that God would do something in your heart. And for those of you that have a desire to make this your home church, this is a safe place. This is a good place. This is a growing place. This is a place where you can encounter the presence of God, and he can do something on the inside of your heart that will help you live different the rest of your life. And so that's what the local church is all about. And that's the opportunity we have every single week to come together, not as a crowd, but as a family, and to really learn and grow together and do what Jesus said, and that is to be his witness and his example. Any witnesses here today? Come on, there's at least six of you. Any witnesses of Jesus here today? Awesome. Well, I know this. We got into Orlando last night with the kids, and I realized this. You guys must really have been praying hard. Here's why I know. Because last night, the Orlando Magic beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm telling you, I've been praying a long time for that team to do something, and maybe this is the year. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, we'll pray for you later. It's basketball. Look at somebody next to you and say, it's sports. But on a serious note, we're excited about this series that Pastor Chris has been preaching on Galatians. You can stay up to date with all those messages through the podcast on iTunes. Just search Victory Orlando, or you can go to the website, victoryorlando.com, and pull up the message portion, watch the videos. That's what I do on a regular basis, either through the podcast or through the videos, just to stay in tune with what God is doing here, to hear the messages that are being preached. And how many of you know that whenever the word is preached, that God does something on the inside of you? The Bible says in Romans, it's this transformation. Romans 12 talks about the transformation of renewal, that God renews our minds. And so we have an opportunity, whether it's me speaking or Pastor Chris or Sarah, or whether it's just the worship team giving you an encouraging scripture through the song, you have an opportunity to allow the word to transform you. And I don't know anything better to transform you than the word of God, because it's the creator of the universe speaking to us. And when he speaks, I want to listen, because what he has to say is better than what I can figure out on my own. And so today we're going to continue in the same vein, talking about this letter to the people in this region of Galatia. This is from the Apostle Paul, writing these letters back to a church that he had started, and actually now it's become multiple churches in the region of Galatia, which is in now modern-day Turkey. And so because the Apostle Paul was busy planting churches and evangelizing in his lifetime, personally over 23 specific churches, he didn't have time to be there every single week. And so it was before Al Gore had invented the internet. He couldn't send a text or an email, and so he had to put pen to paper or papyrus or whatever it is that they wrote on and ink, and send this letter to the leaders and the people in this region, giving them some instruction on how to follow Christ, helping give some direction. And so that's what we see here in the book of Galatians. It gives us some correction. It gives us some instruction. It gives us some edification. But we know through the word, those are all godly things to help keep us on course and help us fulfill our mission in life. And that's what the Apostle Paul saw as he was writing these letters back to the churches. And we heard last week a great message on grace, how that grace really enables you and it covers you of your past, but it enables you for the future to live the way that God desires you to live. And so today we're going to look at a couple chapters here, chapter 4 and chapter 5, depending on how much of it I get through today. The first service only got the first chapter. Maybe God will do something great and we'll get through both chapters in the next 20 minutes or so. But my prayer is this, that regardless of where you're at in life, whether you've been a follower of Christ for 48 years or all your life, or whether you've just come in here in the last 48 minutes, this is a brand new experience. Wherever you find yourself, this is my prayer, that God would do something significant and strategic on the inside of each of us. And I pray that not because of this place or because of the message, but I pray that because of the person behind the message, and that's Jesus. And Jesus wants to do something great in our lives. He wants to do something great in this church. And God has something great for us in every season of our lives. And we should never overlook the future of what God wants to do because he's done great things in the past. Because what I've seen in my own life is that if God does something great in my past, it's only a stepping stone to the greater things that he wants to do in my future. And so for each of us, God can do something today. How many of you are ready for God to do something in your life? You ready for that? All right, let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I just come to you right now in these next few moments. I pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would do something strategic and specific in every one of us. Help us to understand more of who you are and more of what your word has to do on the inside of us so that we can be all that you've called us to be. Father, I come against distractions and hindrances. I come against past experiences. And I pray that in these moments that you would bring revelation knowledge that would transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. The word of the Lord for us today is living God's way. How many of you know that there is a way to live that you can live by default or you can live by design? You can live by the way that things happen to you, or you can live by the design that God has specifically and strategically for each of us. There is a God way of living. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, living God's way. We know there are many ways to live. I remember growing up and in school, I used to get in trouble a lot. Just confessing today, I used to get in trouble in church. I used to get in trouble at home. Everywhere I went, it seemed like trouble was there. I don't know what the problem was, but everywhere I went, there was trouble. And until later on in my life, I realized I was the one causing the trouble. And I remember one particular time at school, I had gotten in trouble for talking back to the teacher. She said something. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. She looked at me like puzzled. She said it again. And then I talked back again. I didn't learn the first time. And so because of that, she sent me to the principal's office. And there at the principal's office, you know, he instructed me by asking me to turn over. And he disciplined me, because that was back in the old days when if you did something wrong, you got disciplined. Now discipline is go get time out for 3 minutes. You don't learn anything. And then you go back to do your old, same old things. And so I remember getting that discipline. And then later on that day, I went home and my father found out about what had happened. And he came to me and he asked me what had gone on. I told him. And then he looked at me and he said, son, don't you realize we don't do that? And I said, well. And then he looked at me again. He said, son, don't you realize we don't do that? And I said, yes, sir, I realize that. Now come on over here. Now you get some more discipline. You discipline at school, discipline at home. I tell you, I was always getting in trouble. I was always getting disciplined. But what's funny is that the word discipline and disciple are actually not that different. Sometimes we get disciplined by the word or disciplined by God. I'm like, oh, that hurts. It's only because he loves you. My father wasn't trying to hurt me. He's trying to help me. Whatever form of discipline you believe in, discipline is a good thing for us because it helps keep us on track. And I remember after that time of discipline, my dad said, come on over, give me a hug. I love you. Do you understand why I'm doing this? Yes. And he instructed me. But then he said it again to me. He said, son, there's a worldly way of doing things. And what you did today at school, we don't do that. And it helped me to realize that there's a way of doing things. He was trying to impress upon me. Well, friends, I want to encourage you that God has a way of living. God has a way of instructing you. And I know when you say that, sometimes at first glance, people look at you like, oh no, he's going to tell me the way to live. No, I'm going to tell you God's way to live. I'm going to tell you that if God has a way for you to live, it's not because he's trying to get something from you. He's trying to get something to you. God never is keeping something from us. He's always trying to get something to us. God's way of living is higher. So you're down here. God wants to get you up here. He wants to get your thoughts up here. You've been living in lack. God wants to give you abundance. You've been living in shame. God wants to give you freedom. You've been living in guilt, and God wants to set you free of your past. When I talk about God's way of living, it's not that there's a set rule of this and that and the other. No, it's about understanding that God wants to lead our lives. And if he's leading our lives, if we've surrendered our hearts and we're really followers of him, then we should be asking the question, God, what is your way of living for my life? How do you want me to lead my family and raise my children? How do you want me to work at this company or lead this company? There is a God's way of living. Look at somebody next to you and say, living God's way. The Bible says it this way in Galatians chapter 4. Now I say to you that you are an heir. And as long as he is a child, he does not differ from that of a slave, though he is the master of all. But it is under guardians and stewards until the time that is appointed by the Father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. So it's talking here as the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to new or early Christians. He's saying, look, when you first came into the faith, you have to recognize you were bondage to the things of this world. You were bound in your mind and your body and in different things. You were bound in areas, and it's because you were a child. But then he says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem you. That means to pull you out, to change your ways. So we may be children under the law, under bondage, and slaves in one area. But then he says, but there's something that happened, and that's when God sent his son Jesus to the earth. It was to redeem you. And that's what God wants to do on a regular basis, is to redeem back what's already his. He wants to redeem back your mind and redeem back your marriage and redeem back your finances. Redeem the things that may be under this world system that God says, I want to give you a better system, a better way, a different understanding. That's what this scripture is talking about. And it says for those who are under the law, that they then would receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, where you then cry, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, like the song we sing, no longer a slave, but we are a son. And if a son, then that means we're an heir of God through Christ. And I have an announcement to make. Don't get caught up on the fact that this word son is used and all the women in the room are disqualifying yourself. No, no, no. It's talking about plural, the children. Other translations say that we are children of God. Here's what we recognize from this, that if you, in one sense, live as a slave under the law, Jesus came to set you free so that you could have relationship with God and be part of his family. This is what we know. God wants relationship with his people. That God didn't send Jesus to the earth because they needed another religion. Look at somebody next to you and say, I think that's right. If they needed another religion, which is man's form of connecting to God, Jesus would have never had to come. God sent Jesus because he wanted relationship with his creation, and he's the creator. Jesus was the bridge that could help that divide between us and him so that we could have relationship with God. And in this passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church, and he is saying, listen, guys, it's not about religion, it's about relationship. That religion wants to constrict, and man's ways want to make you conform into just this, that, and the other. But God wants to have relationship, because if he has relationship with you, then you can learn to live God's way. And if you live God's way, you're an heir. And if an heir, then you have access. If you have access, then that means you can connect to things and people and places that you can never connect to on your own, because you're an heir of the Most High God. Look at somebody next to you and tell them, you're sitting next to royalty. Come on, now with some attitude, tell the person on the other side, I think he's talking about you. Let me just talk to you for a moment about this access. Because I remember one time when I was in middle school, after school, I went with my friend to his dad's business, and his dad is the owner of the entire business, this printing factory. And so I remember we went through the gates, we walked through the front door, the secretary was there, she just waved and smiled at us. We walked right by her, we walked through the entire factory, we walked into the snack room, and we opened the refrigerator, and we drank whatever we wanted, we ate whatever we wanted, we got in the ice box, we had some ice cream that day, we walked over to the office. Everywhere we went, people just waved and smiled at us. And I thought, man, I must be a pretty good guy. And then I realized it was only because I was with my friend. And my friend happened to be the son of the owner. And because the son was in the place, the son had access to walk and go and do whatever he wanted to do in that place. And you know what, friends? I want to encourage you. You have access. You have access to things in your life that you may have never even realized. You have access to promises, over 2,000 of them that are written in this book that maybe you are just leaving there dormant on a shelf. And God says, look, through Jesus, you have access. Through Jesus, you can access wisdom that you could never get through just learning a book. You have access to knowledge. You have access to understand. You have access to favor that God says, I'm going to give you favor with God and man. You have access to things. You have access to healing and freedom and joy. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5 and verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and faith. We have access to the fruit because the Spirit lives on the inside of us. Friends, I want to encourage you to exercise the access that's been given to you. In the same way my friend very confidently walked through that place, said, hey, look over here, grab that, take whatever you want. Man, this is my dad's place. He said we can go wherever we want. In the same way, God says, look, you have access. Why is it then on Wednesday morning when things aren't going great at your job and you're trying to figure out how to fix that next deal or to make that boss happy, why is it we just try to figure it out on our own? Instead of stopping for a moment and saying, wait a minute, I'm a child of God. I am part of God's royal family. I have access. God, give me wisdom in this situation. God, give me favor with that person. That person that doesn't like me, God, I just pray that you would work on their life. God, I just pray that you would use me. You can just stop and you can access God. The Bible says you can come boldly in Hebrews to the throne of grace and receive mercy. Next time you start feeling bad about your situation, you know, feeling upset about circumstances, why don't you just stop and say, God, I know these are natural things, but I just need access right now. I need access to your strength. I need access to your peace. I need access to your joy right now. I don't feel it, but I need access right now. I thank you that I have access to your promises. Amen. Do you know, it's as simple as that. I'm giving you step by step. Here's how you can overcome your situation. Why? Because God wants a relationship with us. He wants to be in relationship. And last time I checked, when you're in relationship, then you can talk to God and you can listen from God. A relationship doesn't go very well if it's only one way. You don't have to say amen. I know it's true. You know, I try to practice this on a regular basis. I drop my daughter off at school and then I'm just driving in the car back over to the office and I say, okay, God, it's just me and you. I'm talking. I need some help today. I need some wisdom. What is it that you want to tell me? Well, I have an agenda, but what's your agenda? And I just, it doesn't have to take 3 hours. You can get it in just a few seconds. You can just stop and get downloads from heaven. Why? Because you have access, but the access is available through the relationship. And a relationship involves communicating on your side, but also listening on your side. When's the last time you just stopped in the middle of your day and said, okay, Scripture says, be still and know that he's God. God, I'm going to be still. And I'm going to listen. What is it that you want to tell me? Here's what I know 100% of the time, not even 50%, 100% of the time when I do that, and I just stop, even if I just did it right now in a moment, next 30 seconds, Lord, what is it you want to say? You know what? He starts to speak. You say, how do I recognize his voice? Because he's speaking it to you through your spirit into your mind, and your mind is translating what he's saying, but the enemy wants to convince you it's not God. And the enemy wants to tell you, no, 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 God doesn't want to help your marriage. No, 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 God doesn't want to do that with your children. God doesn't want to do that with your finances. God doesn't want to do that in your health. God doesn't want to do that with your business. But friends, God wants to change those things. God wants to redeem back everything that's already his and help it to glorify him. And he does it through our lives. Here's the thing you need to remember. He's spirit, we're flesh. He uses us here in the earth. So the better connected you are with him, then the more you see God working through your life. And the more you stop and say, God, what is it that you want to do? The more he'll begin to speak and the more you'll see him working on a regular basis. It's amazing. It's powerful. And so we need to understand this connection that God wants to have in relationship. There's a couple things I want you to remember today on living God's way. Number one, see God as Father. If we're going to have a relationship, we need to understand the correct perspective in which we see God. Let me ask you a question. Let me say it this way. When you come to God, what does he look like to you? When you come to God, does he look like the far-off, majestic being off in the heavenly somewhere? Or do you see God as a father? Well, when you come to God, is he just the king who rules upon the throne? I mean, he is king, he is creator, he is majestic being, but he's also father. How you see him often will determine how you receive from him. It happens that way in any relationship. If you see somebody in a certain way, you're going to receive from them in that way. If you see someone and you respect them or you look up to them, it doesn't matter if they're teaching, saying this or that or the other. You're just sitting there. You're ready to learn. If you're around somebody who's really important, you're just looking and say, okay, is there something that the important person is going to say that I could use for my life? How you see someone determines the way you receive from them. It's the same with our Heavenly Father. If you see him as Father, then there are going to be times where you're just going to come and you're going to say, Father, things aren't going so well. I don't know what to do. And then the Father's going to strengthen you. The Father's going to help you. He's going to wrap his arms around you in the Spirit, and he's going to strengthen you. It's the way that you can come into worship and lift your hands and not even know all the words or know anything that's going on sometimes, but yet you're in an environment and an atmosphere where just if you lift your hands and sing a few words, if everything was going terrible in your life, things begin to change. What is that? God is covering you. His presence is all around you, and he's transforming you. Just by a show of hands, how many of you have been in a service somewhere at some time in your life, and things weren't going so well, but when you begin to worship, things begin to change in your life? Isn't that right? So we need to see God as Father. Here's the fact. Your view of God will determine your relationship with him. And so we need to have the correct view that he is our Father. Now, let me just give you this disclaimer. If you've had a bad example of a father in the natural, that's not God. If you've had an abusive, if you've had a derelict, if you've had a father who left or a father who has, you know, maybe been not the greatest example, then that's not God. We know God is a good father. In fact, we sing the song, he's a good, good father. That's who he is, right? And so we need to remember that God is not like us. God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't forget things. God doesn't, oh, that's an accident. Sorry, that person over there in Avalon Park, Oviedo, oh, I accidentally have them there. I have no purpose for their life. I don't know why they're there. Is that God?
No.
Scripture says every single one of us are here on purpose. Every single one of us have a purpose. That before we were even formed in our womb, God knew us. God set us apart. God called us, created us. God has a plan for us. Why? Because he's a loving father. And I want to encourage you to see God the right way. See him for who he is. Because last time I checked, if he's a good father and I'm his child, then that means things are going to go better in my life, the better relationship I have with him. I'm not talking about just praying a prayer. Salvation experience is one thing, but there's something about relationship that is developed over time, right? I mean, you can come to an altar, and we have opportunities every single week because it's important. There has to be a starting point in your journey in faith, but it's a journey. It's not something that, you know, once and done. It's something that you walk out every single day, right? I mean, I'm 39 years old, almost 40 next month. Pray for me. I'm getting old. But one thing that I've realized from the time I was 17 in a little village in northern West Africa in the country of Ghana, when I had an encounter with God on a missions trip that I went for adventure and God had another plan and I surrendered my heart to Christ, I can tell you from that moment in June the 19th, 1995, when I surrendered to Christ until now, it wasn't a decision, it was a journey. I made a decision and now I experience the journey of having a relationship with God, of following him, of listening to him, of being led by the Spirit of God, of reading the Word of God and applying it to my life. So wherever you find yourself in the journey, all of us can be encouraged today. Don't look at the deficit in your life or don't look at the defeat in your past. Be encouraged for what God wants to do in your future. Is there anyone awake here this morning? See God in the right way. Second thing, approach God through relationship, not just rules. You know, in most homes, there's a set of rules, right? Do this, do that, take the trash out, make your bed, you know, make sure you're doing this, you know, all of the chores or whatever it is. If there aren't a set of rules in your house, you might need to make some. But in most houses, there's a set of rules. And, you know, sometimes we can get so rule-oriented, we forget the relationship. It's kind of like when I'm studying sometimes in my office and my kids will come in and, you know, they'll come in. And immediately when they come in, I think, what do they want? I'm in the middle of doing something. Okay, they want me to get them some food. They want me to take them somewhere. They want some money. They want whatever. Every time it's ice cream, they always want something. And so when they come in and I ask them that and they say, I don't want anything. Or like my daughter, for instance, she'll come in and she'll stand next to me and I'll say, okay, hey, how's it going, Lizzie? What is it? And she'll just stand there. I said, is everything all right? Yeah, everything's all right. What would you like? I just want to stand here. She'll jump on my lap. I said, okay, what's going on? Tell me, did something happen at school? Is everything all right? No, no. I just want to be here. I just want to be close to you. Do you know what that does on the inside? That melts your heart as a father. Why? She doesn't want to get something from me. She just wants relationship. You know the byproduct of that? She has all the favor in the world. Okay, I love you too. Now, what can I get you? What would be the most important? I mean, how can I help you? It's amazing how we approach God, how we have this understanding. God wants to have relationship with us, that there's treasures that are hidden away, that when you understand the relationship that you have with God, and you spend time with him and you take a few moments aside from your day, God can unlock something in your life that you couldn't get for 20 years. He could give you a treasure, a key, an insight, a word, favor, opportunity, a city, whatever it is. He could drop that thing in your spirit and you say, wow, that was a treasure from God. Why? Not because I came to God because I wanted to get something, but I came to God just because he's my father. Come on, that's a good thing for you. So we approach God from this standpoint. Do we believe in rules and regulations and guidelines? 100%, of course. Do we believe that God has a way of living? Yes. But you know what happens? When you have relationship, you desire to do the right thing. When you have relationship, you say, God, how do you want me to live? How do you want my relationships to look? How do you want my marriage to look? Do you want me to be married? Do I need to live with this person or do I need to get married? That's a whole other side. But there's a way of living, and sometimes we can get caught up on the religious side, and we can say, oh, this is right or this is wrong, when God wants to have your heart, because he knows this. Here's why he asked for your heart, not your hands, your head, or your feet. Because your hands, your head, and your feet, they can go other places, they can be cut off, and your life can still move on, but you can't move on without your heart. He didn't ask for your actions. When you came to an altar or when you read in the scripture or someone encouraged you, he didn't say, okay, all right, everybody that's ready to live godly and do this, come on, let's go. Who's ready? No, no, no. He said, who's ready to just surrender your heart? Just give me your heart. Why? He wants relationship. Because righteousness flows out of relationship with God. Why? You're in right standing with God. And when you have right standing through relationship, your desires change. You know, I don't speak the way that I used to speak. I don't do some of the things that I used to do. Not because those things are good, bad, or otherwise. It's because now I have a relationship with God, and it helps me filter and see things differently so that I can make the right choices. Some of you have been at places where, you know, you're trying to figure out, well, which is the choice that I'm supposed to make. And friends, instead of just looking at the choices, look to God. Be in relationship with him. He'll help you make the right choices. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, I think he's talking to you. This may be not what you came in here to hear, but it is what's going to help you and change your life. Because if you can see God the right way and you can approach him with a relational standpoint versus a religious standpoint, Jesus didn't come for a religion. He came to give you a relationship. Everything can begin to change. Here's what you need to understand. If you're approaching God as a scared servant, then you're going to receive little from God. But if you approach God as his favorite child, things are different. Look at somebody next to you and tell him, I think you're his favorite. Come on. We have access and we are his children. Third thing that we need to understand about living in God's way is to give him your whole heart. When God asks us to surrender and to follow him, he doesn't ask for part of us. He asks for all of us. In other words, he wants us to go all in. He wants us to give everything. The scripture says in Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your hearts. I will be found, says the Lord. God's not going to play hide and go seek and stay far from you. He wants to know if you will seek him, because the scripture says when you seek him, you will find him. He wants you to seek not from a standpoint of figuring out where he is, but from a standpoint of where is your heart. And if your heart is in the right place, then there's a desire to seek. It's kind of like me and sports. My wife can tell you that I like sports, not because I tell her, but because I seek it. This afternoon, I'm going to get on my phone and I'm going to see what's the score today. I'm going to figure out if Dallas can turn things around and beat the 49ers today. I'm going to seek after it. And if you watch my life, you'll see, oh, one of the things, not the most important, but one of the things that he seeks after. So here's what I ask you. If we were to evaluate and examine your heart, what is your heart saying about what you seek? We seek after God, the things of God, living God's way. And it's amazing how that when we live this way and we give him our whole heart, that things begin to change in an amazing way. It's kind of like when you stand at an altar. For those of you that have been married before or are married, you stand at an altar, and when you say I do, you don't say I do and say, okay, now you can have half of me. Come on, women, would that go very well with you? All right, half of you are not being honest. Women, would that go over very well with you? What do you want? Do you want half or do you want all?
All.
In a relationship, especially one of covenant and commitment, you want to know that the other person is giving all. In the same way, we have a relationship, a covenant, and a commitment with God. And God wants to know, are you giving all? Are you giving all of me? This is why we live different. This is why we live God's way, because he has all of us. That means he has my finances. That means he has my time. That means he has my marriage. He has my children. That means he has me when I'm at work. He has me when I'm at sports. He has me ever, because I've given all of me over to him. Before I gave over all, let me tell you, man, it was not a pretty sight. I don't know about you. You probably had the same problems as me, right? You're looking at me like you didn't have those problems. Come on. I read the testimony reports. I know. But something happened when I said, God, I'm going to give it all. He changed me. Why is that? Just because he wants relationship with us. If you don't remember anything else about this series, this chapter, chapter 4, really helps us seal everything together. It's like the glue in the middle of this book that helps us to understand the instruction, the correction, the direction, and chapter 5 and 6, and the things in 1, 2, and 3. It's all sealed with a relationship. And that's what God wants you to hear and see and understand today, that when you see God correctly and you approach him in the right way and you understand that I'm going to give him everything, it's amazing what God can do in and through your life. You believe that today?
Yes.
Would you stand to your feet as we have a time of prayer? I didn't get to chapter 5. I have 3 more pages of notes for you today. Maybe I'll post them, send them to Pastor Chris. He can cover these at a later date. But I want to encourage you, here's some homework, a couple things that you can do. You can go back and you can read your Bible for yourself. Novel idea. Yeah. All right, let me give you some more homework. You can go back and you can read the Bible for yourself. Here's my challenge for you. If you don't have a Bible, grab one. We have some out there in the lobby. At the Get Involved table, we can give you a Bible if you don't have one. Most of you have a phone. Download the YouVersion app on your phone. You say, what is that? Just go to the search in the App Store, YouVersion. It's a Bible. It's free. And you can download it. Here's the thing. You can look up Galatians, and you can read through this. As we grow in our faith, it's amazing how that we go from being fed to self-feeding. It's kind of like today, my mom, who's in Oklahoma or flying because she's a flight attendant, she's not going to call me up today at 39 years old. She's not going to say, son, well, maybe she might ask me a few questions, but she's not going to say, are you eating? Right? She taught me how to eat. And it got to a place where she stopped asking me, are you having a meal? Right? If I got really skinny, which maybe I will, praise the Lord, maybe then she would say, are you eating? But that's not my problem right now. I learned how to eat. In the same way, as you grow in faith, come on, friends, you've been in church, some of you, for a long time, and you're expecting just what you receive on Sunday from Pastor Chris to be the only meal through the week, and some of you are starving when it comes to Thursday. You say, why do I feel so terrible? Then you call or you email or you just make it to the next weekend when the team sings that song and everything fades away. I'm strengthened again. Why? You're getting another meal. But as a pastor, let me just encourage you. If your only meal is on Sunday, you're dying the rest of the week. If your only meal is 25 minutes of encouragement from Galatians chapter 4 that we share with you, and then you forget to talk to God, you forget to, you know, spend time with God, you forget to even just read or confess or quote or do something that regenerates your spirit and helps you grow on your own, then you're not going to really make it, and you're not going to experience living God's way. Living God's way comes out of relationship, and then it's followed with a desire to seek more of Him. That's what the Word is. The Word is God revealing Himself to us. God's Word. Have you ever thought about that? God's Word. That means God has words for you. If this is your first time, God has a word for you. If you've been here since we started, God has a word for you. So spend time with Him. That's your homework. Can you do that? All right. Let me pray for you today. If you would, just bow your heads and close your eyes. I want to pray for those of you that are here and you acknowledge that maybe you've been approaching God in the wrong way. Maybe you've been seeing God in the wrong way. Maybe you've been a part of this church, but you recognize I don't really have that relationship, the strong relationship with God. Maybe I thought it was about joining a church, or I thought it was about switching religions from this one to that one, but I realized that I don't really have the relationship, and I want that. All over this place, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're honest with yourself, you say, hey.